from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
All right, we've got a couple calls lined up here in hour number two of the Six Rings Postgame Show, talking Drake May, the Patriots' 14-13 defeat to the second-string Eagles tonight at Gillette Stadium on what was a yucky night to begin with, but actually finished rather pleasantly, all except for the final score. I feel bad, Andy, if Bailey Zappi's career as a New England Patriot quarterback of any ilk ends on a bad snap from some guy named Waddleman or Andelman or Fetterman, an atrocious snap to lose a game 14-13. I just feel like they're doing the guy dirty, but these are the things that are out of our control at this point.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I should probably not admit that on the radio, having watched every practice. But yeah, that guy. And
Andy, it is your duty to know every team's fourth string players.
Nope.
And shame on you.
I can tell you, though, they stink at center behind David Andrews. They can't snap the ball. Like, even one of the McCourties was like, my Pop Warner team, we practice snaps because it's the most important thing. Like, David Andrews is quickly playing himself into most important Patriot mode this season. When you see him out there, it's like, oh, we got a center, we can actually snap it, he's the middle of the line. When he's not out there, all hell hits.
Yeah, all hits the blank, and it hits real quick. That was one of the worst snaps I've ever seen. I felt badly for Zappi. We'll see if he gets any third game run as well, or what will be for him in his post-Patriots career, because it's quickly drawing to an end. Okay, callers, hang tight. We got a special call here joining us now. It's an honor and a privilege to have the co-host of the Midday program here on WEI. He just wrapped his television responsibilities, and I don't mind being sloppy second string or second fiddle anytime, because you know he's number one in all of our hearts. Our pal Christian Fourier from Gresham Fourier joins us now live here on the Six Rings post-game show. Christian, you look good on TV tonight, guy. I like the fit.
Yeah, I'm popping out a little bit. I'm not on the Andy Hart diet, so I'm getting, it's fat season. So, hey, are you guys in studio right now?
Yeah, I am, yes.
Yeah, did you see Andy's mug on the Hardo scale there, Fitzy? Big, scored a big whopping 8 on the Hardo scale today when he was
that's really impressive.
I want it renamed. Yeah. I want it the Hart-O scale.
I know. I'm going to politics for that.
We've already got the Hardo scale on our show. You can't have two different versions of the same name, dude.
I'm very important.
Oh my god, you gotta be high. Yeah, Christian, I'm almost 6'2", a buck 85, and Andy called me fat earlier. This guy is awakened one. There's gonna be an awakened 180 reckoning for this guy.
I'm like new
I'm
money.
With you.
I'm new skinny.
Tell me when to show up. Tell me when to show up.
So, Christian.
That's all I care about.
Christian, yeah. Drake all May. Right. Drake May, week one.
You know what? I'm not against it because my whole thing the past few weeks has been, like, as much as, like, people relying on Jacoby Brissett, I just don't know how capable he really is. I thought he's had back-to-back games where I don't think he was good at all, and I know he needs to be better than that, and I know he needs to know better. There's so many issues with this team. Just the wide receivers alone, offensively, the wide receivers alone, I don't think any of them can get off the ball. I think whoever's playing quarterback is going to struggle just to find open receivers. That to me is, and I know Van Pelt isn't scheming up anything. He's just calling plays. He said that, you know, I heard in the production meetings, he's like, we're not even scheming up anything. No crossers, no chipping, no nothing. It's basic stuff, but basic stuff, you know, third and long, third and short, whatever, man coverage. Hell, you can't get off the line of scrimmage. So it doesn't matter. So I'm not against it, though. Honestly, I think everyone's kind of probably moved up their start date for May based on not what he's doing, but what Jacoby Brissett is doing.
Exactly.
That's exactly what Andy said earlier as well. You obviously didn't read the sign in studio that said, please don't feed the animals or encourage the children. Thank you, Christian.
No, sorry. I didn't even hear him.
Great minds think alike, Christian. Great minds.
I don't know if I'd want to align myself with that one either, Andy. Christian Fourier joins the Six Rings postgame show here live on WEEI. Yeah, Christian, I had set the betting line at 6.5 games until Drake May started, but realistically, I didn't think it would be till week 9 or 10. After tonight, I'm moving it up officially now here on the Six Rings postgame show and podcast to 4.5, and I'm not taking week 1 off the table as well. Now, there are some brutal contests in the gauntlet of the first month for the Patriots, including opening in Cincinnati. We're not exactly sure what version of the Bengals we're going to get. You got week 2 at home against Seattle. Then you go on the road to Helms Deep and play the Jets on Thursday night, short turnaround. Then your treat after that is 10 days rest, but you go on the road for the 49ers. That's a wicked first stretch for, and it's a wicked first stretch for anybody, but Jacoby Brissett is inspiring no excitement, no awe. I'm sure he's a great guy. Community leader, team builder, a super dude. That's great. I may have to expedite the process. Like, what I saw tonight on the field and what I heard from the fans got me put a little pep in my step for the first time probably since they drafted him months ago.
I mean, last week it was Joel Milton III, a lot of pop. Now it's like Drake May doing the most basic stuff. I just feel like we overanalyze this stuff. I know because it's all we have to kind of look at, you know, but like he's doing nothing that is really impressive to me. Like even during the telecast, it's like, oh, look at this off platform throw. I was like, I don't see where he was off platform. It's like everything tends to be a little bit exaggerated. Accomplishments are way over the top. You know, routine things are like A plus plus for effort. You know, it's just, The obvious thing to me is that guys like Stevenson, guys like Brissett are going to be massively limited based on their offensive line and their inability to block. The only thing that they're going to have going for them is the run game and a little play action. But that's only good for so long. So to me, they're just in a really bad spot, and I don't see how this – like ends like well, like even to start, like Jacoby Brissett, like it's just going to be real ugly, I think, like real, real ugly.
So you touch on the offensive line. We saw Vedarian Lowe play into the third quarter, including, I think, the last play for Lowe and May together was that sack he allowed on May.
I don't know why he stopped blocking him.
I don't really either. but when you look at these tackles and this offensive line as a whole, and as I said earlier, David Andrews has to stay healthy. If David Andrews gets hurt, this season gets worse and worse by the minute. But you've been around a lot of teams. I'm guessing you've been on teams with bad lines, bad tackles. Alex Van Pelt, I know he's in his first year as a coordinator, but he's been around the NFL for a long time. Like, how do you foresee them trying to overcome just their lack of competitive personnel at the tackle positions?
I feel like every time I see, like, okay, so how do you – well, you need two people to block. The tight end has to suffer. Like, the back has to, you know, stay in and chip. You provide another body for that guy, you know, and then it's so obvious that it's coming and other people have one-on-one matchups. The only way to do it is, not to be all cliche, but, you know, stay ahead of the sticks, you know, third and manageable, right? Yeah. I mean, you get this group into a third and seven on a repeat basis, good luck. And I agree with you. Like, when I think of young quarterbacks, I personally feel like the two most important people on the offense for that quarterback, one is the center, especially it's like a veteran center, because they know the line play, they know the coverages, they know the blocking schemes, they know the protection, right? You get it wrong, but say, no, it's this, and then they'll take over, then all you got to be like, ready, easy, snap it. The other guy, not just because this is what I played, is the tight end. The throws are easier. The passes are higher production throws. Their relationship is, everything's easier with the tight end quarterback relationship as opposed to throwing outside the numbers, which are lower percentage throws, a little bit more dangerous. A tight end is always like a dry starter. Henry's being out, Austin Hooper being a little bit older, and other guys just kind of filling the void. Like, they can't lose, they can't lose those two guys. If they lose either one of those guys, I feel like they're literally screwed. Like, and Andrews alone is the most important person. But any of those other guys, like, they're Dunsky.
Damn, oh, 100% Christian. You did. Very nice. If anyone is listening and has their Christian Fourier bingo board out, Dunsky has dropped 5 minutes in. That's about as long as it usually takes Andy to mention that he's on TV every Wednesday. So, Christian, let me ask you this. Now, come on. You know that's how we act here in the pig pen.
Yeah.
So, think overall? You play well in here as well. We appreciate that. So let me ask you this. What do you think ultimately will be, because we know the Patriots really aren't going anywhere, and a couple wins that show you there's a North Star and the ship is turning around in the right direction would be an optimal scenario for the season, and that Drake May's a keeper. Great. But what do you think could be the ultimate undoing of this team this year? Could it be not getting a true wide receiver one, like an Ayuk or a Ridley? Could it be trading away your best defensive player in Matt Judon because you don't think he's part of your long-term future and you couldn't agree on an expensive second contract? Or could it just be the continued ignoring of the importance of the tackle position on the offensive line? Those are your three choices.
Oh, I think that's it. And nobody likes to talk about offensive line because it's just not sexy. Nobody knows who the fourth string, you know, center is. Nobody cares. But I ultimately feel like that's it. I go back to even when Trent Brown was playing and he became disenchanted and disinterested and he couldn't pick up basic stuff, like normal stunt moves, and they were screwing up everything. And it's going to get so complicated for this offensive line come week one. Their head is going to be spinning. So it's not just, lay, you're the tackle, look outside, and here comes an obvious edge rusher. Suddenly they start moving inside, and now that's not your guy anymore. But you're not sure who your guy is because the city so doesn't know who his guy is. And next thing you know, all three guys come free. That's going to happen. Like, as sure as I'm sitting here, like, that is going to happen. Strip sack, picked up, returned for a touchdown. That'll play out because they just haven't seen enough of these types of plays. Brissett, as much as he knows this offense, doesn't really, I think, have, like, the full trust of what's going on. And I don't think he has the weapons. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so many variables, and not to like the world is coming to an end, but it is just kind of like obvious, like how dead in the water they are, at least for me. I mean, I watch them go out and beat Cincinnati, but no, it won't happen. But there's just no
no chance.
So, but anyways, I'll be watching the carnage just like you guys.
All right, Christian, before we let you go, I just wanted to end on a more positive note. They trade Judon today, becomes official, and I watched Dietrich Wise, Keon White, Josh Uche all get to the quarterback in the first half. They had five or six sacks as a team. Any chance that you think one of those guys steps up and has a breakout year with the opportunity at hand?
So who are my options? Uche, Kean White, and Jennings?
Dietrich Wise, Jennings, anybody you want to throw in there? Are those guys, any of them capable of a double-digit sack season, breakout season, make us forget Judon?
I tell you what, like Dietrich Wise has been balling out lately. I know it's been against twos, but I feel like that could be a trap because he's never been that double-digit guy anyways, but he's been playing really well. Kean White, I think, is everybody's favorite, but, I mean, he's still kind of young and all over the place, so I don't know how tightened up his moves are, and if you put him against a good tackle in the league, can he beat them one-on-one? Like, I don't know if he can. I don't know if he's got a go-to move. I don't know if he's got a really good established counter move. I know he's physical and he doesn't have and he has a crazy motor, but I don't know. Like, you know, Uche could be the recipient and the benefactor of like double coverage here, playing against a weak sister there. Then maybe he gets up to maybe 8. I don't know though. I don't think there's anybody there that really scares me. Like, crap, we got to change our offense because of this guy. And there isn't one on that team. So.
Okay. I gave you the chance to be positive, and you weren't.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was feeling a lot better before Christian called.
I learned it from watching you. Okay, that's all I need to say.
Christian, you tell no lies. I understand it. We were just trying to – look, I think Patriots fans, for at least a half of tonight's pretend season game, if not maybe even a little more, felt better about themselves or the team than they had entering the game on what was a pretty dismal night before, leading up to kickoff, I should say. So none of what you've said doesn't check out. None of what you said seems like a lie, mistruth, or, you know, TV-ready propaganda. It's all out there. They're going to try really hard. They're going to be the effort kings. That's who these guys are going to be. They're going to be the hardos, if you will. Like, and that's great. I just don't know if I can watch a whole season, you know, waiting for the day we finally get to talk about, oh, finally Drake May's starting, because by that point we might all be bored to tears or, you know, knee-deep in Celtics season.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the other thing to me is maybe this is a discussion for later on in the before the season, but, like, I think the other thing is the give-a-crap factor when you play on teams that suck. Like, it's – you talk about building silos. You talk about, like, you know, picking a side. You talk about second-guessing your coach that's a great communicator. That's a real thing. I don't care how tight-knit you think you have everything wrapped up. I don't care how much your players love you. You lose 10 games in a row, good luck getting them motivated. I mean, I don't know how it's going to be done, but we'll see.
Okay. Fair point. That's a good cliffhanger to leave on. Of course, you can listen to him Monday through Friday, except when he decides to take days off, which is 2 to 3 times a week. Christian Fourier is part of the Gresham Fourier program.
Hold on. Wait. Don't break yet. Hey, good news. Tomorrow's
what?
Friday.
What?
There you go. Tomorrow's Friday.
Right. Hey! We got to leave on a high note. There's the Millennium Falcon flying off into space for us. Love you, guy. There's Christian Fourier. Thanks, buddy. Peace. Appreciate you calling in, dude. Have a great show tomorrow. Christian will be part of Patriots Friday tomorrow. Don't miss the show. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's the first official Patriots Friday, part of our new deal with the New England Patriots at Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI. Boy, Christian gave us lots to chew on there, Andy, as well. It was a bit of a reality check, and we'll have to mull that over with the loaded phone lines we have to get to when we come back, Andy. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. All about you when we come back, plus the Judon trade and more. We're here with you till midnight, and right now here with you to present trending sports news, our producer extraordinaire, Joe Braverman.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gerard, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Matthew Judon trade. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Look, I mean, you guys know how I feel about Judon, and, you know, obviously he's moving on. I felt like, I mean, it's a win-win for both parties, and I wish him nothing but the best. I always tell the guys these are long-term relationships, and nothing's changed.
What was the more interesting answer on Matthew Judon tonight, Andy? Was it Gerard Mayo wishing him nothing but the best, having said that he had previously commented on it aplenty? Or was it Steve Burton and Ramondre Stevenson's engagement tonight?
Did you say the most awkward answer?
I mean, have you? By the way, I don't know if you've had a chance to check during commercial breaks, and once again, you're listening to the Six Rings postgame show live here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEEI. I'll get to your calls in just a second, talking Drake May, Patriots. Any signs of improvement, anything encouraging you saw, or are you still with some of the callers who say, quote-unquote, Pats suck? We'll see. That clip has now gone hyper-viral. And for those who are unfamiliar with the clip, Joe, do you happen to have that lined up by chance?
Give me one moment to pull it up.
All right, you know what we'll do? I'm going to give you a second to pull that up. Let's grab, can you allow us to grab a call in the interim? All right, great. Let's take, he's been holding for a couple few minutes here. Tom is in New Jersey down in the 201. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how we doing, boys?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I like the way Drake May seemed tonight. However, I had some issues with the O-line, specifically the last 2 weeks, the left tackle position. I think we saw the first week him come around the sweep and Drake May take a little slight hit to his ankle. I want to make sure that our future is protected. And if that's what it's going to be, we need to start Jacoby Brissett and take the time to shore up our O-linemen.
So you'd be willing to sit Drake May all year then? That's the issue, because the line is not going to be good. That horse has left the barn. The left tackle spot's a problem. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it is, and I appreciate the call, Tom. You have to wonder, Andy, what percentage of people would be, you know, once we get the line fixed, then you can start May. I don't really think they're going to get the line fixed. Now, there's a chance they could improve. They could get better-ish. Had some folks up in the media lounge earlier when I was at the stadium earlier tonight, talking about how the Patriots will have third waiver or priority pick whenever teams start releasing veteran players as we get to cutdowns from 90 to 53. Players can get cut now all the way up until... What is the final cutdown day? Do you happen to have know that off the top of the dome, Andy?
27th, I believe.
2 days after the final... I'm Ron Burgundy?
Believe so.
Tuesday the 27th. Okay, so Patriots would have third waiver priority pick from players that are released from their rosters unless they're vested veterans, right? Is there going to be possibly anybody? How could there not be somebody that gets cut from another team that would be better than Chuck Secor for Vidarian Lowe or whoever the hell else is out there in, you know, Bum Fight 2.0, the Hobo's Revenge? Come on.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo, and I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. I was talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judon.
Oh. Judon. He's moving on to better places.
Different place. Excited for him. I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
What the hell was
that? Oh, my God. He's moved on to a better place. All Steve had to do was offer thoughts and prayers at the end.
I firmly believe Steve had, and I don't fault him. We've all done this. I think he had a brain fart and forgot Matthew Judon's name. And that's why he said the guy who left, and like instead of just saying Matthew Judon was traded, you know, reaction or something. I think he forgot his name. I really do.
I think I told you. I'm sorry. That just absolutely kills me. I think I told you before the season started that one of the things I was going to miss most about preseason in general was awkward interviews between Steve Burton and Bill Belichick. I mean, they were just theater of the absolute absurd, awkward, and hilarious. Just the death stares, and then it was like, oh, well, okay, this guy's dad was a Hall of Famer, so I'll be nice. And, you know, he'd be nice. But, like, he would still wait sometimes, like, 15 seconds to answer the question as Steve just fumbled his way through it. But I don't know. Like, this one is up there.
He's moving on to better places.
Uh-huh. No, this was more awkward than any of those. This was as awkward as that golf reporter who interviewed Vince Young, only it wasn't Vince Young. And the guy did a nice job trying to back out of it. But... To not only not say the guy's name, and then, quite honestly, he could have just let it fly as like a Belichick question. Oh, he took it a Belichick way. That's my bad. I probably should have said Judon's name. But then to follow up with it and then say he's in a better place, like he's not with you bums anymore. He's in a team that's got a shot to win some games.
Have mercy.
That was not great, Bob.
Okay, that's not supposed to be the highlight of the night, but it definitely was the most entertaining portion.
Well, thanks to Javon Baker.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it was my guy. I know. It bothers me just as much as it bothers you, bothers Drake, and bothered all the fans.
People stood up in their wheelchairs to scream at him. That's why they stood up in their wheelchairs.
And they spilled
catch
their
the
popcorn.
Ball.
I know. Twice tonight, but that one especially. All right, let's go back to... Oh, you got one Braverman rim sting on that one. Good. Very nice. Let's go back to the phone, shall we, gentle friends? Matt is in New Bedford. He'd like to talk football on the other side. What's up, Matt?
Philly Matt, Andy, thank you for covering South Coast. You're very proud. I didn't just talk to you about your stretch. What I was talking about to your screener earlier was, so I didn't see crap, I'm being polite, anybody who could even get close to what Judon offers the team. So what are they going to be doing?
They're going to miss him. You're right. Mm-hmm. There is no obvious answer to fill the void. I think the closest guy should be Josh Uche. Matthew Judon was always very praised.
I agree with that, yeah. As long as he controls himself when he's coached up right, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
part of a semi-pro football team. We've won national championship last year and twice back-to-back in our region. But some of our guys... they always understand basic and fundamentals don't fail. So if somebody wants to move on, okay. But in the end of the day, the coaching staff and the basic philosophy of the head coach and defensive coach should still be solid. I have no confidence on the offensive coach or the defensive coach.
That's a vote of no confidence. That's not good before the season even starts. No, I mean, Judon was their best defensive player. You can't give up a four-time Pro Bowler, and by the way, a Pro Bowler before he got to New England and in New England, mm-hmm. pass rusher, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. I mean, they don't have the horses to just laugh that off. Can you get some improved play from Uche? Can you get some improved play from Keon White, who we've talked about previously, Fitzy on Six Rings podcast, that he's had a nice offseason. Now they're going to count on you even more. Now it's not like gravy if he's good. You're going to need more out of Keon White this year. And he's not a replication. I think people have been confused as to what Keon White is. He is not just a every down edge player, stand up, run around. Like, they've used him standing up, but he is not. He's a much bigger, thicker. He's more in the Willie McGinnis mold, where your hands in the dirt, you play inside at times, Dietrich Wise mold. You know, I know they were talking on the TV broadcast, even the comparisons to, and now I'm drawing a blank, like Steve Burton during an interview. Why can't I think of the edge rusher that went from the Patriots to the Lions with Matt Patricia and then came back from Arkansas?
Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers. He's that type of a player, you know, can play the run, can rush the quarterback some. But you're talking about Matthew Judon as a Patriot was basically a sack per game guy. I don't think they have a sack per game guy on the roster right now. So you're going to miss that.
No, I mean, look, he puts forth a nice bull rush, and Keon White is strong as an ox and built like a gladiator. But, you know, I heard people describing his efforts this week against the top line for the Eagles as a little stiff and, you know, not looking quite the part yet. He hasn't developed all of his pro moves. He's not quite there yet. Yeah, he does seem also more McGinnis than he does Judon as well. Judon was quick. Judon was fast. Judon was relentless. He was the ultimate high motor guy on and off the field. And there's no way to really quantify exactly how many different aspects of his personality and game the Patriots are going to miss, which again leads me back to my point from the first hour as well. While I don't want to bust up Drake May, ruin his confidence, or get the kid hurt like J.J. McCarthy in his rookie season, at the same time, you're clearly sending an organizational message with 50-some-odd million dollars cap to spare that this ain't the year, and you're just going to let the young kids play it out, figure out who among them, alongside some of the blue-collar guys that you signed this offseason, like Jelani Tavai, like David Andrews, like Jabril Peppers and others. You sign those guys to be the veteran foundation. Now you're going to find out which of the young guys work out for you. And next year you're going to have like $130 million in salary cap room. You best go out there and on day one get uncharacteristically double aggressive and come home with a left tackle, a T. Higgins, and more, Andy.
Well, the left tackle's coming in the top five picks in the draft. That's Will Campbell out of LSU. That, okay. I'm locked in on him. Big old strong, doesn't give up sacks, left tackle. That's your guy. The $100 million is to be put to use elsewhere on the line, by the way, for depth. Maybe you buy a right tackle and then find your number one receiver. Whoever that guy is that's disgruntled this coming off season, this mm-hmm. winter, if that's still T. Higgins or one of these guys that doesn't get a deal, that's where you're going to spend a nice chunk of that money. I think I'm higher than most on the Matthew Judon trade. I think it was a win-win-win-win-win. Now, that's probably in part because I already thought this was a 2-win football team, 3-win football team, whatever it is. So mm-hmm. you can't, you know, there's only 2 wins to go from there downward. So I don't think you're giving up much. And the third round pick you get, I think that's very good value. The fact that you not only don't give him extra money, he comes off the books at another $6 million. You're going to roll all this cap space over into next year. So, and you can find out more about these young guys, right? Mayo said it's about finding out who's part of the foundation. Well, we may find out through 17 games this year if Josh Uche is part of the foundation, if Keon White's part of the foundation, right? It's nut cutting time. Step up or get out.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we're going to find out this year. Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings looks to be the part of a quality NFL edge linebacker, defensive lineman, however you'd like to qualify him. You know, we'll find out about Josh Uche. Can you do it on your own? Are you your own pass rushing defensive specialist type of man? Or did you mostly just benefit from the fact that they always had to be on the lookout for Matt Judon? So that's going to be key for Josh Uche this season. This is a massive season for him among other guys as well. I love the third round pick too. That's huge. I'm just sorry that the fans lose one other player that they really loved rooting for, one other person that they whose jersey they would buy, one other something special about this team. So it is. We are in a massive turnaround and transition. One more call, Andy, before we catch a break, and then, of course, we'll come back for some of your final thoughts. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and get you just a little bit prepared for the week ahead and, of course, Commanders-Patriots on the 25th. Lewis is out in Chicopee. What up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, boss? How you doing?
How are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm good, good. I'm just here to talk about the display of the messy display we saw tonight.
Yep. It wasn't pretty.
Pretty much what I gotta say is we just need to stop playing Zappy. Give you know our May a couple more sets. You know, give you know Milton a couple more sets. We need to see what they can do. We know what Brissett can do because he's been in the league for a while. But every time Zappy comes in, nothing gets done. There's a lot of mistakes. Even though it wasn't him that, you know, that messed up the hike, you know, it was the center that messed it up. But, you know, we need to do something, man. We need to give them guys a little bit more reps.
Okay, thank you for the call, Lewis. Appreciate that. Andy, I think Lewis speaks on behalf of most of Patriots Nation. Zappy, we appreciate you. Zappy Hour was a thing. Zappy fever, it was real for a while until it wasn't. And now it's time to go gently into that good Foxborough night and find yourself another job somewhere else. And thanks for the memories. And as far as the young receivers and some of the guys that we hope are Foxborough fixtures in the years to come, what do you have to lose by not playing them?
Oh, you're going to see a lot of young players play this year. I know they were talking about on the Drake May touchdown run that there were, what, six rookies on the field with the offensive line and the receivers and May. You're going to see these guys play. That, like, they didn't draft these guys to sit and develop. Remember with, like, the running backs? It used to be with Belichick. It was like a red shirt year before you even get a chance. No. These guys are all going to get a chance to play. Now, they may play themselves out of playing time at some point with their performances on the field. But my buddy Paul Perillo was talking about it. I don't rule out late in the year Caden Wallace taking over one of those tackle spots, even if he's not ready right now, or Laden Robinson taking over a guard spot. Like, that could be part of an improvement or a transition on the offensive line. Now, I'm not necessarily projecting it. I don't know that I've seen enough from either. Certainly for Robinson to overtake Sau or Onwenu is probably unrealistic. But then there's also the possibility, if Robinson proves himself, put Robinson at right guard and bump Onwenu back out to right tackle, because Gerard has continued to say the best five are going to play, not necessarily the best five position fits. And I still think there's a chance if the best five are going to play, that means bumping Onwenu out to right tackle and putting somebody else at guard, whether it be Robinson or somebody else.
No argument from this side of the post-game equation as well. And the best two are going to come back in just a couple of minutes and put a bow on this one. Final thoughts on the Patriots' second pretend season game from 2024. One more to go until the season opener, September 8th, 2024 at 1 p.m. in the Natty against Joey Burr in the Bengals. 617-779-7937 is your number. If you've got any final thoughts you want to register and or weigh in with, this is the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI. Okay, just a couple minutes left here on what's been a very entertaining and eye-opening Six Rings postgame show. Following, look, it was not a spectacular game. It was not a wild back-and-forth affair for the ages. And no, the Patriots didn't play a clean, extra special or sensational game. We looked for glimmers, we looked for nuggets, we looked for little positives and takeaways. We got a couple, but we know there is a lot of work to do. However, tonight on the field, Andy, some people did their job and some people did not. Some shined and some stunk. Some were excellent and some were awful, and that's why we turn to you, sir, at WEEI.com with the Andy Hart's thumbs up, thumbs down portion of the program. Andy, who improved their chances on making the team or making a splash this season, and who improved, or rather did not improve their chances of making the team, but maybe did improve their chances of working at Dunks?
Top thumbs up was obviously Drake May. We've been over that. Bryce Barringer, the first punt of the game, 64 yards down to the one. had a 51-yard average in the game. Joey Sly looks like he could be taking the lead in the kicking competition with a 51-yard field goal. He also won a little back-and-forth field goal battle with Ryland on the practice field the other day. Raekwon McMillan was laying the lumber on the defensive side of the ball. I know not all the linebackers were playing. Juwan Bentley wasn't out there. He had a big hit on special teams, and I think he had like 8 tackles on defense. So Raekwon McMillan, a veteran who's been hurt a lot, might get his chance. I liked the post-Matthew Judon pass rush, I called it. I liked the fact that Wise, Keon White, and Josh Uche all stepped up. They had 5 sacks total on the night. And then the little guy that everybody wants to be, Edelman or Welk or whatever, David Wallace had another kickoff return that he popped for 53 yards. There may have been a hold on the play, but whatever. He took advantage of the opportunity. Then he had a nice catch after that. He did muff a punt later, which has been a problem on the practice field. But he's kind of making a name for himself, maybe a practice squad guy. Thumbs down. You got to start where I started the show. Drake May's elevation could be just as much about Jacoby Brissett's demotion. Jacoby Brissett has not played well, didn't play well tonight. Missing throws, forcing throws, interceptions. He is playing like a rookie. Vedarian Lowe played into the third quarter. He has sort of solidified himself as the left tackle on the practice field, but he doesn't look great. Your boy Javon Baker, the drops have to stop. You're killing my guy, Drake May. And center QB exchange. I'm sorry, I know you're not David Andrews, but you're in the NFL. Figure out how to get the ball from your hand to the quarterback's hand more regularly.
Solid list. Don't think I have any single disagreements with that as well. You could also have just said the offensive line. I would have been fine with that. And yes, I am a Sly guy. I am way in favor, especially considering the new kickoff rules, Andy, of a guy like Joey Sly, who has the stones to hit the big kicks when it counts, having made a couple at different stops in his NFL career. And also looks like he could challenge any of us to an eating, drinking, or arm wrestling contest and would win easily. I think that's that'll just about do it. So great job, Joe Braverman, as always. Thank you to all the callers. Good job, Andy. You can follow him at Jumbo Hart. I'm at FitzyGFY, and this is at WEEI. We'll be back next week with more Six Rings and Football Things podcasts as well. It's a Patriots Friday tomorrow, so from the Greg Hill Show to Gresham Fourier, all the way through Jones, Mego, and Arcand, you can catch Patriots interviews, coordinators, players, and more tomorrow, and we'll be back with fresh Six Rings next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Once again, your final from Gillette. Eagles 14, Pats 13. This has been the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. We'll talk to you very much soon. Good job, Drake May and everybody, and that's a wrap. Okay, just a couple minutes left here on what's been a very entertaining and eye-opening Six Rings postgame show following... Look, it was not a spectacular game. It was not a wild back-and-forth affair for the ages. And no, the Patriots didn't play a clean, extra special, or sensational game. We looked for glimmers. We looked for nuggets. We looked for little positives and takeaways. We got a couple. But we know there is a lot of work to do. However, tonight on the field, Andy, some people did their job and some people did not. Some shined and some stunk. Some were excellent and some were awful, and that's why we turn to you, sir, at WEEI.com with the Andy Hart's thumbs up, thumbs down portion of the program. Andy, who improved their chances on making the team or making a splash this season, and who improved, or rather did not improve their chances of making the team, but maybe did improve their chances of working at Dunks?
Top thumbs up was obviously Drake May. We've been over that. Bryce Barringer, the first punt of the game, 64 yards down to the one. Had a 51-yard average in the game. Joey Sly looks like he could be taking the lead in the kicking competition with a 51-yard field goal. He also won a little back-and-forth field goal battle with Ryland on the practice field the other day. Raekwon McMillan was laying the lumber on the defensive side of the ball. I know not all the linebackers were playing. Juwan Bentley wasn't out there. He had a big hit on special teams, and I think he had like 8 tackles on defense. So Raekwon McMillan, a veteran who's been hurt a lot, might get his chance. I liked the post-Matthew Judon pass rush, I called it. I liked the fact that Wise, Keon White, and Josh Uche all stepped up. They had 5 sacks total on the night. And then the little guy that everybody wants to be, Edelman or Welk or whatever, David Wallace had another kickoff return that he popped for 53 yards. There may have been a hold on the play, but whatever. He took advantage of the opportunity. Then he had a nice catch after that. He did muff a punt later, which has been a problem on the practice field. But he's kind of making a name for himself, maybe a practice squad guy. Thumbs down, you got to start where I started the show. Drake May's elevation could be just as much about Jacoby Brissett's demotion. Jacoby Brissett has not played well, didn't play well tonight. Missing throws, forcing throws, interceptions. He is playing like a rookie. Vedarian Lowe played into the third quarter. He has sort of solidified himself as the left tackle on the practice field, but he doesn't look great. Your boy Javon Baker, the drops have to stop. You're killing my guy Drake May. And center QB exchange. I'm sorry, I know you're not David Andrews, but you're in the NFL. Figure out how to get the ball from your hand to the quarterback's hand more regularly.
Solid list. Don't think I have any single disagreements with that as well. You could also have just said the offensive line. I would have been fine with that. And yes, I am a sly guy. I am way in favor, especially considering the new kickoff rules, Andy, of a guy like Joey Sly, who has the stones to hit the big kicks when it counts, having made a couple at different stops in his NFL career. And also looks like he could challenge any of us to an eating, drinking, or arm wrestling contest and would win easily. I think that's that'll just about do it. So great job, Joe Braverman, as always. Thank you to all the callers. Good job, Andy. You can follow him at Jumbo Heart. I am at FitzyGFY, and this is at WEEI. We'll be back next week with more Six Rings and Football Things podcasts as well. It's a Patriots Friday tomorrow, so from the Greg Hill Show to Gresham Fourier all the way through Jones, Mego, and Arcand, you can catch Patriots interviews, coordinators, players, and more tomorrow, and we'll be back with fresh Six Rings next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Once again, your final from Gillette. Eagles 14, Pats 13. This has been the Six Rings Post Game Show live on WEEI. We'll talk to you very much soon. Good job, Drake May and everybody, and that's a wrap.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.